When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Turned into a royale with cheese. Yeah, so we're in recovery. You can rip, if you want to, you can rip this out and put it on as a special for a Lost Art as well.
I may just do that.
You may just do that. But yeah, if you're listening to us on Lost Art, welcome to the latest episode of Lost Art of Wrestling. I am your host, weirdly, to this week, Paul the Flaming Grill Flinders. And yeah, the other voice you can hear is Adam Cox.
You fucked that up, didn't you?
The booker, yeah, I did fuck that up. It's a botch. It's wrestling now. It's a botch.
Oh,
so yeah, it's probably only going to be a quick one, but it's a review for Royal Rumble and TakeOver for this past weekend. Now, we're fashionably late to the party, as we always are when it comes to these reviews. So, yeah. Should we start with TakeOver, seeing as that was chronologically, obviously, it makes sense?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so what first match that we had was... See, I've got no notes at all for this. But the first match that we had was the tag match, wasn't it? It was War Raiders versus the Undisputed Era.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking great match.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it had everything.
I was surprised it went the way it did.
I can't remember what we said.
I think we possibly called it for
War Raiders.
War Raiders to win.
I think I did as well, actually, thinking about it. Yes, I did. Don't know why, though. But it did, yes. But yeah, it was a fucking cracking match on everything. And that handspring was fucking insane.
Yeah.
That was incredible. See, I'm trying to think back now because it's been like nearly what 5 days since we watched it.
Yeah, I watched it Sunday night, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it's because I've, but I still not had a chance to sit for the full 5 hours of the Rumble yet. But
ooh. But you know the results, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get them up in front of me anyway if need be.
True, this is it.
Yeah, it was a decent match. I think the War Raiders deserve the belts, if anything.
Yeah, they're over as fuck, aren't they?
And there's this whole thing of them like rebuilding the tag division in WWE and NXT anyway, so hopefully it gives them a decent run.
And this is the reaction. See, this is what happens in the UK when you stay up and watch wrestling. You get that reaction. Fuck you, WWE! Put it on a more sociable time! But yeah, great match. Out of 10, out of 5, sorry, I'd give it 4.5 easy. That match.
Yeah.
It was on par with anything we saw at TakeOver ourselves, so Yeah, I'll give it that, definitely. After that, we had Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno, wasn't it not?
Yes.
Yes, it was. And that was exactly what I said it was going to be.
Getting buried.
Not necessarily getting buried, but putting Matt Riddle over.
Yeah, well, it's they actually did say on the announcement on commentary at one point, like, oh, Cassius Ohno is like 0-4 at TakeOver.
Yeah.
Like, can he break the losing streak? And it's like, well,
nope.
No.
Because you're basically Nico Hawkins. Yeah, I mean, many moons ago, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno was a talent to look forward to. And now it's just, why are you still here? He's clearly enhancement talent now. In an enhancement promotion.
Yeah.
I suppose he's doing a job. Other than that, yeah. You don't expect him to hold any titles anytime soon unless he does something absolutely spectacular.
He's going to be one of them career NXTers, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's in NXT. He's getting paid. He's comfortable with what he's doing.
Backstage role waits for him.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because if he shows himself to be a good hand, which he is at the minute, let's be honest, he's eating plates of shit for the company, then absolutely, yeah. I'd say three out, not even that, maybe two out of five, because it was exactly what we thought it was going to be.
I'd go 2.5 just to average it out.
Yeah, so it was about a bang average. So yeah, it was what it was. It did its job. It put Matt Riddle over, and he's gonna be a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we had, was it the women's match or was it? The women's match.
No, it was Ricochet Gargano first.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Ricochet Gargano, which was for me match of the night.
Yeah.
Because everything looked like it fucking hurt. Now, I'm not into these people that bounce around the ring like fucking ping pong balls and fly around, and I think I did sort of criticize this match for that on obviously the preview on Lost Art of Wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take it back because everything in that match was done with a purpose.
Mm.
Ricochet didn't just flip around and bounce around just for the fuck of it. It was done. When someone made a move, it made sense. It really made sense.
I'm hoping he's learnt from the Ospreay match he had in New Japan.
Yeah, I'm hoping that too. But he's a guy that's capable of pulling off all this amazing shit, but doesn't need to do it all the time. The guy can work anybody, can work any style. He doesn't need to be working like bouncing around the ring like an idiot all the time, which I'm glad he's not doing. But when he does pull it out, it makes sense. And it looks as sore as it did. It's fantastic. Now, the spot that really looked like it fucking was sore was the spot where Gargano pulled the mat back.
Oh, the...
The backdrop.
Yeah.
That looks sore. Let's be honest, that looks sore. I mean, it was proper, like, everything was meaty, the way everything was done. The kicks were meaty, the punches were meaty. It just genuinely looked like they were trying to kill each other. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. They're going for a match where, they're doing it in a title match. You've got to do everything you can to win the match, to win the title, and exactly how it came across. And I genuinely can't see any negative in it.
It probably was the best match on the card, to be fair.
Easily. I'd say it's match of the weekend.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I'd give it that. It was match of the weekend. It was... I'm really struggling here to find something I didn't like about this match. I really am. I don't think there was anything there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go with that. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.75.
I'll go 4.9.
Oh, as close to top marks as you can get, pretty much.
Yeah.
It was justifiably, I'd say, as well. So, yeah, fantastic match. Can't fault it. Next up, we had Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair. Now, there was a little bit of controversy going into this match, if I remember correctly, from the pre-show.
Yeah, it was Sam
Roberts.
That one. He said something on the pre-show, saying that he didn't believe Bianca Belair was like a formidable opponent for Shayna Baszler.
Not believable and not takeover worthy or something was along them lines.
Yeah.
And he got an absolute shitstorm for it.
So.
But he wasn't wrong!
I'm not thingy with her anyway. She's only been... I think like they were hyping up. Like they were hyping her up on commentary. Like, oh, she started training and 5 months later she made her debut and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm just not sold on her.
Yeah, she's still green as goose shit, let's be honest. Yeah. But the problem is, who else do you put in that spot? Because with taking Dakota Kai out and a few others that have got her in NXT, moving them over to NXT UK, the NXT women's roster is paper thin.
Yeah, true.
Really paper thin. So Bianca Belair was really, in a way, the most credible person they could put against her. Personally, what they should do is bring people back in down from the main roster. Someone like a Dana Brooke or someone else that's not doing much on the main roster in the women's division. But at the same time, the women's division in the main roster isn't that exactly brimmed. So it's one of those. For me, it was okay, the match between Bianca Belair and the... And Shayna Baszler. What I can see stopping happening now and looking at is the hair whip gimmick because it actually legitimately cuts Shayna Baszler.
Oof.
It actually slashed her on the side.
Ooh.
Other than that, it was standard fare. It was, you know, Shayna Baszler was going to win. Predictably so. And... okay, Bianca Belair had a few moments where she powered out and it got a massive pop from the crowd.
Mm.
And they went with the Austin finish where she passed out as opposed to tapping out. To keep her sort of like strong.
Still not sold.
Yeah, I'm not sold at all. She needs to have a bit more of a run. Because she was apparently undefeated in the NXT. To be fair, if she's undefeated and she's ran over everybody, there's nowhere else to book her. So, in a way, it's sort of like bad booking. Because you've ran yourself into a dead end. If someone's undefeated, obviously the next step's the belt. But if she's not on Shayna Baszler's level, then you've got a problem there. Especially if she's green as goo shit, like she is at the minute. So... in a way, I think this match, unfortunately, was a result of bad booking, and there was nowhere else to go with it. Otherwise, they'd just literally just phased her out, and then you would have got critics like us, like, going, well, where had she gone? She was undefeated, so why have you suddenly just buried her? It would make no sense. Now, at least, I suppose now she's lost, there's a way that she can now, obviously, she's lost her invulnerability. She can be booked to lose. And it wouldn't be too damaging. Like way Asuka lost her undefeated streak at WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, well, that came as a surprise to everyone, didn't it, really?
It did, but it also it made it so that in the future, like, you know, in the future now, she can be booked to lose, and it wouldn't be too damaging because that aura of invincibility is not there anymore. You can have an aura of nearly being really hard to defeat, almost impossible to defeat, someone like Brock Lesnar. But you know deep down they are beatable.
Mm.
And if they do get defeated, there's a way back for them. I genuinely think an undefeated streak can be one of the most harmful things to a wrestling character. Because you can only book them a certain way until they've got that defeat.
Oh yeah, they've done it. They do it with all the big guys you had to bring in. They do it with Romano, they do it with Ryback, they did it with... countless others.
But it can really be damaging for them as well, because once they've lost that momentum, it's like, well, what do you do from here? Whereas if you can get them to the point where they do have, like, they look strong, but they maybe, you know, they tap out or they pass out or something like that, when you lose that undefeated streak, they can still look strong.
Mm.
Even from a fuck finish. If you take the undefeated streak away, you can't turn around and say, right, well, even if it's a fuck finish, in the rest of the history books, it says they've been defeated. You can book them to lose, and it's like, oh, it's not his first defeat, so it's not so earth-shattering. I'm genuinely not a fan of undefeated streaks. Because, like I said, because for that reason, for the reason of light of Bianca Belair, where it's now got to the point where she can be booked to lose now, thankfully, but because she's gone through the whole division, there was nowhere else for her to go except for the main, for the belt, even though she's not ready. So,
yeah,
that's my thoughts on it. But yeah, for what it was a passable match. And I would give it the same score as the Matt Riddle match, which will be a 2.5 because it served. That's, you know, it was slightly better than the TV match.
I'm going to go 2.
Mm.
Just didn't enjoy it.
That's fair enough. Because it's not for everyone. I mean, Bianca Belair, it was just one of them things. Last but not least on TakeOver, we have the main event, which was Aleister Black versus Ciampa. Great match. Lots of false finishes.
Let me just grab the results.
Oh, he's grabbing his results because he needs...
I've watched him. I was in between doing other stuff as well with this one.
Right. So it was a good match. Good little bit of improv, which must have been a small theme for the two shows.
Mm.
With a certain few wrestlers. The improv that I did like was Aleister Black slipping. If you noticed on the water.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and they used it to the point where obviously Ciampa saw it and they must have had a bit of a communication between themselves at the last minute to make it believable that obviously because of the slip, he didn't get back to the ring quick enough.
Mm.
To which point then Ciampa countered because of the slip.
Right.
Which was fucking fantastic because it covered up the mistake.
Mm.
So really, 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 really impressed by that. But yeah, it was a good match. Like I say, a lot of back and forth. It was at one point anyone could have won it. You're just waiting for the three count. Yeah, I can't fault it. Again, it was a good match. It wasn't as good as Ricochet Gargano, but it was up there. Cracking match, it really was, and I enjoyed the. I enjoyed the storytelling of, you know, of him taking out Aleister Black's knee to take out the Black Mass.
Yeah.
And obviously Aleister Black wanted the title that much that he was willing to use the Black Mass even though it hurt him.
Ooh.
But because he did use the Black Mass and because of his injury, he couldn't capitalize on it. So, yeah, I enjoyed that, you know, that aspect of the match as well. So, yeah, really enjoyed it.
It was good from what I saw.
Mm.
It was a problem for me is it was kind of it was one of them. It's like you knew who was gonna win.
Yeah, it was clear.
Because if anything, I think Tommaso is bringing he might lose it at the next TakeOver.
Yeah, because I think he's coming up. He's gonna come up with Gargano. I'm telling you now, he's gonna come up and they're gonna be a tag team. But also capable of going off on their own.
Yeah. So, because I think it's gonna lead to like Ricochet, Ciampa, the next TakeOver.
And if it Ricochet, yeah, because now Ricochet's lost the belt, he's freed him up for the NXT title, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And that for me, yeah, that's the natural progression, I think.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, what did you, what would you give this match out of five? I'd give it, I'd go with a 4.5 again.
Yeah, I'd go 4 or 4.5.
Yeah, between 4 and 4.5, would say would be fair. So yeah, cracking match. So yeah, overall, great show. 4 out of 5 overall, I would say.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
So it's a nice bit of pacing, I suppose, when you're talking about fantastic match, meh match, fantastic match, meh, fantastic. So you're not waiting. It's not all the fantastic matches aren't in one big spot on the mat, in the card. So yeah, it's quite nice. You know when your piss breaks are, so you can do it. Not that you need a piss break for a 2-hour takeover. So so yeah, after that we had the Royal Rumble. And we had the pre-show matches to begin with first. There was another pre-show match, wasn't there, that wasn't announced?
It was
Razor and somebody, wasn't it?
It was like Razor and Scott Dawson or something.
Yeah, versus... can't remember who they were fighting, wrestling.
I'm just trying to get the results up.
Either way, they lost.
Oh, well, just look at them kickoff results.
Yeah. It's how we're prepared, by the way. But yeah, it was...
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable defeated Razor and Scott Dawson.
Absolutely. So yeah, there was that match. I didn't see that match, so there was that match. Did you see it?
I didn't watch any Rumble because I was working on a Monday.
Ah, right, okay.
I've not had a chance to catch up yet, so...
Ah, but you know the results, so...
Yeah.
So this will probably be quite brief. Next up, you had the US title match between Rusev and Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold an angle which would be used later on in the night. Where... Nakamura injured Lana, pushed her off the apron, hurt her leg. Rusev obviously, what's the word I'm looking for, distracted by that and then gets rolled up for the win. Mm-hmm. But Nakamura became your US champion. Notice the past tense. Because he's not the US champion anymore. Because on... The last episode of SmackDown, he lost it to R-Truth.
Yep.
I'm assuming it's a thank you for eating plates of shit for the last 7 years. So he's the US champion. Then obviously had a match with Rusev for the US belt straight after.
Mm.
And won that as well.
Well, hey.
So R-Truth is still your US champion. And he's already had a title defense. So, fantastic. I think he deserves it. And the guy who is 47, who looks fucking 20 years younger, absolutely deserves it. No matter work he's put in, no matter shit he's had to eat. Good on the man. And like so, I read someone online, I'm looking forward to the promo where he comes out saying he's proud to be the Intercontinental Champion. So, yeah, that was that. The match was okay. It was nothing to write home about. 2 out of 5. You know, I was quite glad we're not going to get another phoned-in US Championship, you know, reign by Nakamura. But it does look like there's going to be a tag team forming between Rusev and Nakamura.
Oh, I gave up with this stuff.
With Nakamura.
Just stuff like this, like we're gonna have these guys feuding and I'm gonna put them in a tag team together. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's like gigs. Is it?
Gigs. Just gigs. Yeah, just gigs. So next up then we have the Cruiserweight Championship match between Buddy Murphy, Kalisto, Hideo Itami and Tozawa.
Yep. Tuaza.
Yeah.
Duaza.
And it was all right. It was a good match. Really good match. Buddy Murphy goes over again. Looks like a star. Yeah, he's going to be on the main roster before long, Buddy Murphy. Well, technically he's on the main roster, like, but...
it just shows what can happen when you actually have put someone who knows what they're doing in charge of the actual brand.
Yeah, exactly. And clearly he does know what he's doing, and yeah, it's fantastic. I'd say for a pre-show, you know, not bad, about 3.5 out of 5. Really, really enjoyed it.
Well, considering that was, what, 2 hours worth?
Yeah, that was 2 hours worth. 3 matches in 2 hours for a pre-show. That's not too bad. Because obviously the pre-show was designed to build up the show. You know, a bit of nattering, promos, this, that and the other. So you got 3 matches, and they weren't short matches either. You know, that's not bad. I'll give it that. But then we go on to the main card.
Mm-hmm.
And first up was Becky Lynch versus Asuka.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. Just a shame about the finish.
Was it a fuck finish?
It wasn't a fuck finish, no. It was Becky Lynch tapped out to the Asuka lock.
Right.
Bearing in mind, at the time, she wasn't booked into being the Rumble storyline. So she didn't have a Rumble match spot. So she tapped out. She was the man. She tapped out to Asuka. Now, there is a bit of a problem with this booking because... Spoiler alert, Becky Lynch wins the Rumble. But, and then on Raw, she challenges Ronda Rousey to the belt at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now, Ronda Rousey is supposed to be this massive, formidable opponent that no women can beat. But she's just tapped out to Asuka on the same card.
Mm.
And you want that to be believable. That's a big problem. That is a big problem. So Asuka wins via armbar. The match itself was decent. Nothing really sticking out because obviously I've got no notes, so I'm a bit unprepared. But yeah, for what I remember, it was a good match. Nice opener. I'd give it, from what I remember, 3.5 out of 5 yet again. It was a good match.
It's one of them, the 5-hour show length has put me off actually wanting to watch it.
Yeah. This is the problem. With it being 5 hours, it's hard to remember some stuff. There's all that much so much wrestling going on, it's hard to pick out stuff sometimes.
Mm.
Like, for example, the running order. I'm struggling now to figure out, remember what went on after this.
You had... The Miz and Shane McMahon versus The Bar.
Of course, yes, I remember. Yeah. This was surprisingly better than I expected. Much better than I expected. It was an actual proper match. It was... They protected Shane in it, but at the same time they didn't. In a way. Do you know about the finish?
The shooting star press.
The shooting star press from Shane McMahon. I remember going up on Facebook and saying, and I quote, "My jaw has legitimately just gone through the floor." Shane McMahon doing a shooting star, and it was picture fucking perfect. We're talking Evan Bourne levels of, like, literal sort of perfect.
Mm.
Unbelievable. You know, the bar with the bar, they did what they usually do. So yeah, it was a good match. I enjoyed it. I mean, I know some people are slagging it off, but I personally enjoyed it. So yeah, The Miz and Shane McMahon are your new tag team champions on SmackDown, which is 100% what we called, and 100% going to be leading to a heel turn.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Nope. But at the same time, they had a ceremony on SmackDown where they brought out Miz's father, where he said he was proud of him. Which I said that Shane McMahon was going to be the one that turns. I now think it's going to be the Miz that turns. So, yeah, we shall see. But yeah, it was a good match again. Like I say, hard to recall stuff. There was that much fucking wrestling going on. Yeah, it was a great match. It was. I'd give it, from what I remember, because the way I enjoyed it, I'd give it another 3.5 out of 4, maybe even a 4. Out of 5. Maybe 3.5, actually. 4 might be a bit much. Yeah, 3.5 out of 5, I'd say. So, next up, I'm thinking, was it the women's title match?
Yeah, Sasha Banks, Ronda Rousey.
Yes, now then. It's proof, by the way, that how much Ronda Rousey can carry people in a match. She's, like I say, she's one of the most improved wrestlers of the year, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. She's done a fantastic job in her first year. But I'm going to give props to Sasha Banks. Now, obviously, Sasha Banks tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a moment, obviously, her finishing move is the bank statement. And she had a bit of a wardrobe malfunction in the middle of this match where the straps around one of her arms came loose. And it's obviously they were getting in the way. But instead of just fobbing it off while in the middle of the bank statement, what she decided to do was get part of her ring gear, pull it round Ronda Rousey's head so it was in her mouth, and pulled it towards her like it was like she was trying to garrote her. With her ring gear.
That's a second malfunction in as many weeks.
Yeah. But it looked fucking amazing. It actually added to the match. Like, it showed, like, do you know what? Sasha Banks is willing to do whatever it takes to win this match, even using her ring gear. So I really, really enjoyed it. And I mean, it's like, obviously, it's improv again.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the improv. I really enjoyed the match. It was actually not bad. It was quite short, about 9 minutes, but it was. I enjoyed it. It was a fun little match. I'm gonna give it. I think there's a theme for this. It's gonna be another 3.5. Yeah, bang average. Slightly above average. So yeah, it was a good match. I enjoyed it. Obviously, like I say, Ronda Rousey retains. Which leads us into the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
There we go. It was one of them. It shows how paper thin the women's roster is. There were no legends in it though. This year. No Litas, no Trish Stratuses, no Tories, no really like that. Yeah, it was all right, the Rumble, the Women's Rumble. I mean, I've gone on record saying I'm a Rumble mark anyway. I like me a Rumble. But this is, so it was all right. It wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not saying it was a masterpiece of a Royal Rumble. It wasn't, but it did what it did. You had the Naomi stupid spot like you normally do, but then we had somebody else, I can't remember her name. It was a woman that won Ninja Warrior in America. She's on the card now. She's in a relationship with Ricochet.
Is it Casey Catanzaro or something?
That's the one. She did like a spot where she landed on the floor.
Yeah.
And then she kind of like shuffled over, but her feet never touched the floor.
Mm.
I think she was on her hands and knees because she managed to go over to the ring on the apron with her feet, shuffled over to the corner post and like climbed up the corner post.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, another spot monkey.
Yeah.
She's teeny tiny as well, so that's literally what she's going to be for. He's basically just a ragdoll around.
Mm-hmm.
But she did good. I'll give her that. She did good. It was better than last year's Rumble for the women. But that wouldn't say much because last year's Rumble was a fucking abomination. I think I remember going on Twitter to someone from Kevin Castle. I think it was to Kevin Castle, the DTKC show, saying that, come on. So he was slagging the Rumble off, and I said, come on, it's got to be better than that. At least it's better than last year's abortion. And then, as soon as I finished that, we had the spot where Maria stamped on Alicia Fox's hat. I was like, okay, I'll take it back. Because they're pointing at each other. They go, me? You? Friend? Friend? We'd be Rumble friends. The next thing you know, Alicia Fox turns her back and she stamps on her fucking hat. Why? Massive step back. But yeah, other than
standard.
That. Yeah, standard. There was nothing else of note, really, apart from Charlotte Flair looking like a fucking psychopath.
I saw the picture.
Yeah. Looks like an absolute psychopath, but why wouldn't you in the middle of a match?
Yeah,
it was really enjoyable. I mean, the narrative between Charlotte Flair and Becky obviously continues. Builds up that storyline. But then obviously Becky wins the Rumble, but she gets in by Alana, because Lana kind of get down the ring with an injured ankle. She can't make it. Fit Finley's there, to, you know, trying to help her. And Becky comes out like, look, let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. You've got 29 people in there. I could be your number 30. Let me in, let me in, let me in. And originally Fit Finley's like, no, can't do it, can't do it, I can't do it. Lana's insisted she can go, and then Fit Finley just goes, fuck it, go on. And that's how Becky enters the Rumble. And she ends up winning the fucking thing. So, yeah. So, as we know, we've already mentioned that she's already chosen Ronda Rousey. So, God knows what's going to happen with the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I think we'll have to see come Chamber.
Yeah.
See what they do there.
Because there's just been two Chamber matches announced. So, you've got the Women's Tag Team Chamber match. And SmackDown Championship match, the WWE Championship match, has been announced between Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Mustafa Ali. Who else is there? Jeff Hardy.
They've got a bloody thing. Is it? Yeah, Mustafa Ali, isn't it?
Yeah, he's in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Right.
They think he's a million. I genuinely think that he's money. They think he is money.
He's got Daniel Bryan on his side, doesn't he, as well?
Yeah, this is true.
From what I've heard, like, he's pushing for him to be like, he's like, oh, this guy, like, he deserves a shot or whatever, so.
Yeah. But we're living in an age now, though, in wrestling, where the heavyweight champion weighs less than the cruiserweight champion.
Because
Buddy Murphy's billed at 204, and Daniel Bryan is 190-something. And at the same time, you've got Finn Balor, who's also 190-something, taking on Brock Lesnar. So, it's one of those. But yeah, what I'm trying to figure out what match happened after the Rumble. I think we only had a few left.
AJ, Daniel Bryan, yeah.
Yeah, AJ, Daniel Bryan. Notice they didn't give a score for the Rumble. Because, I don't know. All right, 3 out of 5. I'll give it that. There you go. AJ Daniel Bryan, why is it when I get hyped up for an AJ Styles match, it's fucking awful? Why?
Good question.
Why? We had it at WrestleMania last year with Nakamura. Phoned in shit. This, again, phoned in shit. And not only that, Eric Rowan? Why? Yeah,
no idea.
Why? Is he still with the company? Clearly is. But like I've heard somebody say, he's one of them guys that can come in and do this role, and WWE at the end of the day can wipe their ass with him, and he'll come back asking for more.
Yeah, he's like the new Kane, isn't he, essentially?
Yeah, essentially. So, yeah, that's not... I wasn't a fan of this match at all. It was shit. It was utter shit. Did not like it. Oh, by the way, when I was thinking about it there, obviously the master of the cattle mutilation is Daniel Bryan. Asuka won her match with something that looked very similar to a cattle mutilation.
Alright.
It was like an Asuka lock, but sort of like modified to look like a cattle mutilation. But yeah, yeah, it was fun. And that's another thing as well. The Sasha Banks bank statement is basically a glorified armbar. She did like an armbar. Or someone did. I can't remember who it was. It was in that match. But it looked like their arm was about to fucking snap off. Like the shoulder had popped.
Because I thought the bank statement was a bit like... It's a bit like Johnny Gargano's move, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking I might be getting the name. It's definitely an armbar. I can't remember who it was. But someone did an armbar and like their fucking shoulder was about to pop out. It was fucking grim.
All right.
I'm just going to have a look. It's on my Twitter. I don't use it that often, so it shouldn't be that far. So, yeah. 1 minute. Find my profile. So, I'm having a look now here to see. Hang on. Oh, Sasha did an armbar. And it looked like it was really ripped fucking Ronda Rousey's arm off. So it was fun. But yeah, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, not a fan whatsoever. You know, especially due to a fuck finish as well at a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So I'm going to give it 1.5 out of 5. Not a fan at all. next up, what did we have?
Lesnar, Finn Balor.
Yeah. Lesnar, Finn Balor. Wasn't bad. I mean, I don't remember paying much attention to this match, if I'm honest. For what I saw, though, it was all right. Finn Balor looked okay. Obviously, I'm starting to think, obviously, that Brock Lesnar has better matches with smaller guys. And when you think about it, they've been preparing him to wrestle smaller guys. He's wrestling Rollins, who's not exactly small, but he's smaller than people like The Undertaker and things like that, who he has been wrestling.
Yeah.
He's had Daniel Bryan. He's had, obviously, AJ Styles. He's now had Finn Balor. It's like they're prepping him. So, but yeah, it was a good match. It was what it was. It was brief. About 9 minutes, I believe, or 8 minutes, something like that. Yeah, it was okay for what it was. 3.5 out of 5. Obviously, lol Lesnar wins. So yeah, this was one of those, and it's going to be Lesnar Rollins at Mania.
Well, that's getting into the Rumble, isn't it?
Well, this is it, yeah, because we are into the Rumble now. Rollins did win. As predicted. Did we predict?
You had Jeff Jarrett at number 2. No, we said Drew McIntyre.
Of course we did. Yeah. See, I did a competition. I was like, I put Rollins down to win for some reason. I've changed my mind about that point. But, yeah, Jeff Jarrett at number 2 to fuck with Elias. Now Elias is heel. Why? His face, he was over his shit, he was money. Why waste him?
No idea.
Oh, another talent is going to go to waste here.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again.
And you'd have a better fucker if you forget with the men's rumble.
Oh.
Number 30.
Oh, yeah, that's a major bit of fuckery. Now, this is a massive talking point here. Which might, I don't know, because obviously this is the main event. R-Truth comes out to claim his prize for number 30, winning the mixed match challenge. He's doing his rap and what have you. Now, who comes out? The face breaker herself, Nia fucking Jax. Now, last night I was like, well, not last night, but I was, when I was watching the Rumble, I was like, ooh, okay. And they're going to take this seriously. I think they're going to do something with it because they are mentioning names that they don't normally mention before when they brought her up in the Rumble. They actually mentioned China on commentary. They mentioned China. If you are a betting man, I would put a tenner on China being in the Hall of Fame this year. The fact that they're willing to talk about China now.
Well, there is a, there's a campaign or something that's apparently gone viral in America, which is like China deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think not TMZ, but some other news outlet in America's picked up and like, yeah, she should be in. Mm-hmm. So whether that's affected her or not, I'm not, I don't know. But
well, end of the day, if they can have Sonny in there with a straight face and not remove her like they did someone like Hulk fucking Hogan, then why can't she be in the Hall of Fame? Because she did porn. You can't turn around and say, well, she did drugs as well, because you've got Sean Waltman in there as part of DX, whoever it is. I think Sean Waltman's in there, isn't he? Well, see,
possibly. Yeah.
Possibly, but it's irrelevant anyway, because you've got people like fucking Jake the Snake Roberts in there, who was notorious for fucking drinking drugs. You've got Scott Hall and many other people who were notorious for taking drugs in the Hall of Fame. So either way, you can't. There's no argument. No argument whatsoever. Only for reason she's not in the WWE right now is because it's Triple H's ex.
Yeah.
That is literally it. So, but yeah, she should be in the Hall of Fame. And if I was a betting man this year, she's going in now. She's going in this year. I'm not going to say she's going to be a headliner by any stretch of the imagination, but she'll be in there.
With the rumours the way to go, then the headline is going to be a lot bigger than China.
Yeah, it's going to be The Undertaker, isn't it?
From the sound of things.
Yeah, I think Taker should have stopped years ago. But now's the time. Now's the time. But yeah, we're digressing anyway. We were talking about the Facebreaker entering the Rumble, and they were comparing her to people like Beth Phoenix and China and Karma. They didn't mention Karma though.
Yeah, right.
So they're willing to mention China, but not Karma.
Strange.
Yeah, it is a wee bit strange. But yeah. Yeah, she actually laid hands and eliminated two people, did she? Or was it just the one? I know she eliminated... who did she eliminate? It was a smallish person.
Let's have a look.
Was it Kurt Hawkins she got rid of?
Everyone probably got rid of Kurt Hawkins, to be fair.
I don't think Kurt Hawkins was in it, actually. Or was it Mustafa Ali she got rid of? She eliminated someone anyway.
Mustafa Ali was she eliminated.
Yeah, so she just picked him up and basically just threw him like a fucking dart. But then she obviously got a fencing on Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton of all people, and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, she's moaned dropped so Dolph Ziggler.
Oh right.
So. But yeah, then in the end, she ended up eating a zigzag. She ate a 619, and she ate an RKO before she got chucked out top rope. And you could hear people in the crowd like, holy shit. Rey Mysterio's all got a face on him, like, what the fuck have I just done? You could see it, it's like, what the fuck have we done? Randy Orton's there smirking away. This is nothing new to Randy Orton. He's RKO bitches before.
Well, if she wants to get in the ring, oh yeah, Rey Mysterio's on 619 to a woman before.
Well, yeah, this is it. But the thing is, people complain that this is not why we teach people. We should be teaching people that men should be okay to hit women. She entered a male competition. If she wants to be equal standards, then she's going to get fucking smacked. What are people going to do? Jump over the top rope because there's a woman in there? If that's the case, every single winner of the Royal Rumble would be a woman.
Yeah.
So go fuck you with your political agendas. Equal rights, motherfucker. And that includes getting punched in the face if you enter a combat sport, faux or real, that's intended for men. And what the big problem is as well is, why does the Women's Royal Rumble exist?
For the women.
For the women to take part in a Royal Rumble. What would have, do you think the shit would have hit the fan if a man entered the Women's Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So, as someone so eloquently put it in a massive rant that I heard, you don't see women NBA players playing in the men's NBA. You don't see women footballers playing women's football with the men. Because there's already a discipline or a sport there for that. Now, in the past, it could be booked and understood because there wasn't a Women's Rumble. But there is now. So, what was she going to win by winning this? The main event shot at WrestleMania? But the thing is, so what I can see happening is there's going to be an intergender match at WrestleMania.
You reckon?
I reckon there's going to be an intergender match at WrestleMania, or at least a tag match at WrestleMania. Because Tamina Snuka's also sort of getting involved now as well.
Alright.
Because there was Dean Ambrose was supposed to be doing a promo, and Nia Jax came out with Tamina and they stared her down, and it was she was squaring up to Dean Ambrose. And now normally you obviously in that situation they would back away, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But then obviously I think Nia Jax slapped him, and then it all started going like he was gonna proper whack a one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's going to be something happening, whether it's Dean Ambrose. And that's probably the way of him eating a plate of shit on the way out, because apparently the rumours are that WWE have put a statement out that he's done with the company. But I think that's storyline. I think he wants time off.
So,
that's what I genuinely think, and I think they're going to work that into the reason. One of the reasons why he's leaving is because he's booked to wrestle Nia Jax at WrestleMania.
Well, a few people, like one guy at training was asking me last night, he's like, God, do you think it's a work then, the whole like thing you're leaving? It's like,
fuck knows.
I don't know. It seems weird how they've actually announced it. Like Dean Ambrose, then in brackets, Jonathan Good is leaving after his contract finishes in April after WrestleMania. Yeah. So,
come on, AEW, sign me.
Well, like we were saying, I think we were discussing last night on the group chat, is like if anyone's going to go anywhere, it's going to be either work the indies.
Mm.
And do like what Cody Rhodes did.
Yeah.
Or he's going to join, like, he's even going to go back to, like, so if he does the indies, he can do, like, GCW, CCW, all that sort of thing.
Aye.
Or he's going to go to, like, AEW, maybe ROH.
Yeah, there is that.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. See what I do see happening. I see Nia Jax of an Intercontinental title. I genuinely see that. Obviously, someone's got to take it off Lashley at some point. I think someone like, I don't know. I reckon Dean Ambrose is going to get the belt back and it's going to be him. But we'll see. That's me wishful thinking. It's just I've got no evidence. I've got nothing there. That's just what I'm thinking. And the seeds have been planted.
Mm.
And Intercontinental at the minute is Dean's level, so that would make sense. And I wouldn't be shocked if it happened at WrestleMania as a title match. I would not be shocked.
I'll be pissed off if it does.
Yeah, I will be as well, but I can see it happening because, you know, WWE like to fillet themselves and say, look, we are equal opportunities, so it's one of them. But yeah, as for the Rumble itself, it weren't bad. Nia Jax was unexpected, but it was fun. I think we were expecting a female to enter the Rumble. Just didn't think it was going to be, the men's Rumble. We just thought it was going to be Becky Lynch. which pissed on everyone's bonfire when she won the Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
So it's one of them. Overall, the Rumble was okay. It was just nothing really stood out apart from Jarrett getting smashed in the head, which is always fun to see. Yeah, I'd give it a massive 2 out of 5 because it was a nothing burger, apart from Rollins winning, clearly. That's it. Overall, pay-per-view, 3 out of 5. I think for just for historical reasons and to keep hold of the storyline, you need to watch the Rumbles. And I think you could probably get away with not watching anything else, if I'm honest.
I might wait till the timestamp it then.
Yeah. I'd watch the Rumble. I mean, yeah, I'd watch the Rumbles. I'd probably, that's it. Just so you're up to speed what's going on the titles. There's no titles really changed hands apart from the pre-show. Everyone retained, apart from the tag belts. In fact, it might be worth watching the tag match between Shane and Miz versus the Bar. That might be worth a watch, but I wouldn't study it. I'd just give it a once over and that'd be it. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Royal Rumble. So yeah, watch it when you've got time. Don't go out your way, basically. So on that note, I think we should wrap up because we've been talking now for a good solid two hours 20 nearly, and next to no preparation. That's actually really good going. Because you had 20 minutes notice as well.
Well, I was ready for yesterday, and then I woke up, saw your message saying I've got to cancel till tomorrow. So I was like, I'll go back to sleep then.
Yeah, because I had shit to do yesterday. We would have done this show yesterday, but, I'd sort out hopefully getting a new date for the wedding. So a cheaper date. So all being well. I'm hungry. I need to get some dinner. So at this point, I'm going to wrap up because we are recording in the early afternoon now. So we started in the morning. It's now early afternoon. So, yeah. So do you want to give yourself some plugs? Well, it's our plugs now.
If you want to hear more of myself, you can find me on the Lost Art of Podcasting. Find us on all good podcast places, iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, the usual. We're on Facebook, Lost Art Podcast, and Twitter at Lost Art Podcast. Instagram, Lost Art Podcasting. We also find us on the Lost Art of Wrestling podcast, which is at LAOW Podcast on Twitter, also on Facebook at Lost Art of Wrestling.
Yep, and you'll hear these on RAD and Lost Art of Wrestling, so. Yeah, but yes, you can find us, RAD Live, or RAD Podcast, on Twitter, at UK RAD Podcast. We are on Facebook, just look for our RAD Podcast, or RAD Live, as it is at the minute. We're on Spreaker, iTunes, I believe, still, aren't we, Coxie?
Yeah,
you'll know more about where we're appearing.
I forgot we were. I didn't realise we weren't actually on Spreaker, not Spreaker, Stitcher.
Hmm.
I didn't realise we weren't actually on Spreaker. Not fucking hell.
Stitcher.
RAD wasn't on Stitcher since we moved over
a
new thing.
I think I've got 3 listeners on Stitcher anyway. So.
Well, I resubmitted it yesterday, so the new feed is up on there now.
Fantastic. So yeah, you'll find us on Stitcher now, but we're on iTunes. We're on, is it iHeartRadio?
Yep.
We should be on Spotify as well.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of anywhere else we've not said. Google Podcasts, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, most places we're going to be, so you'll hear us at some point. Also, while I remember, quick plug to Gunpowder Treason No Plot. They're a real, an actual play D&D 5th era podcast. It's a lot of fun. Give it a listen. You can find them at Treason No. And they've got their character names as well, which I can't remember their handles. I know
each character is like, it's Rogar, GTNP.
Sophia, GTNP, and Tommy, GTNP.
Yeah.
But the main DM, the main Twitter is, Treason No. At Treason No. But yeah, but there's also their your everyone's favourite Betrayers Twitter account. It's at SteveGTNP. Was it Steve the Betrayer? He's been having some weird dreams of late. Not quite sure what they mean. All I was going to say is I think he's a changed man. But no one knows how.
Mm.
Even Steve. So he's coming. We just don't know when.
Mm.
So Tommy, be scared. Because Steve thinks you're a cunt. TFG loves you, but Steve's a cunt. And on that note, we're leaving. I need to get some food.
So do I.
Yes, absolutely. Right, so I've been Paul the Flaming Grill Flinders.
I've been Coxie.
And you've been listening to the RAD Live podcast or Lost Art of Wrestling podcast, whichever one you listen to us at this moment in time. Whichever. Thank you for listening. Thank you, and see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.